one of the last independent media voices comes under pressure, and Russia gets a new human rights commissioner with a rather creative view on human rights. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFRL. Joining me in the studio is senior RFRL editor Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Brian.
And also with us is Pavel Butorin, managing editor of RFRL's Russian language television program, Current Time. Welcome, Pavel.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So last week, the FSB raided the offices of Mikhail Prokhorov's Anexum Group, as well as other businesses owned by the billionaire, allegedly investigating tax violations, maybe funneling some assets offshore. And then over the weekend, reports appeared in the media that Prokhorov was considering selling RBK, one of the last independent media outlets in Russia. Совпадение, я не думаю. In a recent edition of his weekly program, Vestina Daily, Kremlin propagandist Dmitry Kislyov commented that Russia's enemies have helpers inside of Russia. The cameras at that point accidentally zoomed in on a copy of RBK that just so happened to be on Kislyov's desk. Steve seems to have seen this movie before. Gusinski's probably having some deja vu right now, I would think. And the ending always kind of sucks. What do you think we're seeing here?
Well, exactly. I mean, I guess we'll see in the coming days or weeks, you know, whether he will actually be selling RBK. Or not, but obviously there's, you know, this amount, whether there's a decision in the Kremlin or not at this point, you know, what's happening amounts to serious pressure to do so. I mean, I see it as, I mean, in part something ahead of the elections. I mean, to some degree, it's a surprise, at least to me, that it's been allowed to kind of go on as it is. Because it has presented a fairly, you know, independent or sometimes kind of opposition-minded view or cast of the news. So, and I think maybe the Kremlin is just saying at this point, going into this election season, you know, things aren't good economically. Let's cut this down. I saw Dmitry Bykov had a kind of a poem on a blog in which he said they want to cut Prokhorov down to a meter and a half. So I think that's, you know, he went on to say that this is the kind of thing they did in the Soviet era, which if you stick up above the rest, you get cut down. So, and I think this is the Kremlin has probably decided that it's time to do that with RBK and Prokhorov.
And why is it being done? Has RBK always been very critical of the
Kremlin?
Well,
I think the Panama Papers. I think they were one of the Russian media outlets.
And one source said that you know, they linked this whole thing to RBK's coverage of the Panama Papers, yeah, and Putin's inner circle, including Ekaterina Tikhonova, Putin's, yeah, alleged daughter.
Alleged
so
daughter.
That basically drew the line.
The addition of RBK that the camera zoomed in on when Kislyov was talking about internal enemies was the edition that had the Panama Papers reporting in it. So I'm wondering if maybe that was what set this off. But
and I think certainly anything about his family. I mean, remember what happened to that newspaper, you know, 10 years ago or so that reported about Putin's family. It was shut the next day or something. So, you know, that certainly, as Pavel says, could be the catalyst.
Now, they seem to have gotten Prokhorov seems to have gotten the message. The editor-in-chief of RBK has gone on, a study leave?
Right.
Four months earlier than planned.
Gazette, yeah. So it looks...
She's supposed to go to Stanford University to study at Stanford University in the United States.
Mm-hmm. So you don't usually start that in May, do you? Yeah.
No, it's not that. It's a strange time to go start the semester, but... But no, you will. I mean, this story's fluid, and we'll have to see how it plans out. Anything to add?
Well, in any event, the acquisition of RBK, of the whole holding, by any Kremlin-controlled entity would deal a serious blow to the Russian media environment. On the Russian internet, RBK is the most quoted online, yeah, publication, while the group's newspaper is in the top 10.
No, and we've seen, I mean, again, look at what we've lost in the last couple of years. And we've everything from Lenta, Dosh TV has been tamed. Echo Moskva is still out there doing what it does. But there's this steady stream of taming even the mildest opposition voice. Because I wouldn't characterize RBK as oppositionist, but it was just one of the last reliable, solid news sources you can go to in the Russian language. And to lose that would be a blow. But I'm not optimistic right now.
I mean, to me, it even, at least in comparison with others, it looked oppositionist at times.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of just because there was so little else out there.
So the I think you're right, Pavel. The Panama Papers was the last straw. All right, moving on to another topic. To say that, as I said in the outset, to say that Tatiana Moskalkova has a rather creative take on human rights would be a bit charitable. She wanted to rename the Interior Ministry after the Cheka. She wants a law outlawing moral attacks. She wants to confiscate the property of terrorists' families. These are just a few of the proposals she threw out there. Steve, what does this portend? I mean, in the past, Russia's had these very capable, very earnest, and extremely ineffective human rights commissioners, people like Vladimir Lukin or Ella Pamfilova, people, you know, who you really didn't doubt their commitment to the issue, but they had no influence. Moskalkova looks like somebody's going to have some influence, and that's probably not a great thing, no?
Yeah, I mean, I think... maybe, again, elections coming up, I think maybe what the Kremlin wants, you know, may want Ella Pamfilova to put a veneer of legitimacy on the elections. But at the same time, so, you know, because that's one of the things that Putin needs going forward is legitimacy. But at the same time, I mean, the issue of human rights has always been, you know, in particular in Putin's current term, you know, his kind of accusations that the West is using human rights as a, you know, as a fulcrum to take him down or to undermine Russia. I think this is to be seen, you know, in that context. You know, okay, they want legitimate elections or elections that look legitimate, but they don't want any kind of pretense of you know, human rights being used or being cited as a way to kind of undermine the authority of the Kremlin. So I think, you know, this person in this post fits that very well. I mean, another thing she said was that essentially along those lines, human rights are being used by the West, you know, right, against Russia. Mm. So I think that's, you know, and it's something that Putin has always been saying. So, you know, I think that's what this signals.
Another thing I picked up too in her first interview after being confirmed by the Duma last week, she gave an interview at Interfax and she said one of the main things she's going to focus on is the rights of Russians abroad. And as a Duma deputy, she was known for collecting information about alleged abuses against ethnic Russians by the Ukrainian authorities.
Probably so that's the Kremlin's human rights agenda, obviously. So, and she also told Deutsche TV that in Russia you have no political prisoners only because there's no political section in the Russian criminal code. And one has to wonder if there are any boundaries to absurdity in present-day Russia. You have a police general appointed as the country's ombudswoman. My only recommendation to her is maybe not wear the uniform, you know, right, while she's carrying out her duties as ombudswoman. And you mentioned some of her quotes, and you know you mentioned her proposal to introduce some sort of punishment for attacks on morality. You know, citing
this is in the aftermath of the Pussy Riot case.
Yeah.
All right, Paula, anything else you got cooking on current time you want to promote?
Yeah, we're keeping an eye on the horrific killings in Russia's Samara region, where a senior police officer and his family were murdered in their sleep in an apparent gangster-style assault. Also in Russia, state-owned companies will now be allowed to withhold certain information from their annual reports. That's a significant development. We're following that. And, of course, this week marks the 30th anniversary of the Chernobyl nuclear disaster. We'll have a serious report from the area, namely from the Belarusian side of Chernobyl and how it's still suffering from the fallout 30 years ago.
All right. Well, you can watch all those programs at www.currenttime.tv. And that's all we have time for today. So we'll wrap it up. You have been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at the stories making news in Russia. We do this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast. Joining me in the studio has been senior RFERL editor Steve Gutterman and Pavel Butorin, managing editor of RFERL's Russian language television program, Current Time, which you can watch at www.currenttime.tv. Join us again next week, and as always, I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.